Wednesday night, I like to talk to you just to, I don't usually just preach a sermon. I try to just talk to you like I sat down and talking with you at your house somewhere. And tonight, I want to talk about a subject, staying steady under pressure. Of course, none of us have pressure. Usually when you mention that having pressure, people usually think, you know, the bad things, because that causes pressure. But you know what? A lot of good things operate under pressure. The air in your tires. Hello? The gas that you pumped into your car. Pressure. You know? Did you know that every time you turn your faucet on and water comes out, pressure is involved, or it wouldn't be coming out? You know? Did you know, most of you do this, but a diamond is created under great pressure. A diamond consists of carbon minerals that were subject to great temperatures, high temperatures, and great pressure deep within the earth. So, pressure in helps us to enjoy some things. However, we ourselves find pressure being put on us in various areas for different reasons. Some of you may work and where deadlines are involved. I know when I was going to Bible college, I worked at plastics manufacturing company there in Dallas, and making from 11 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock the next morning, then go drive back 22 miles to the school and go to school. But I was under pressure every night to make so many plastic bowls. If I didn't make that quota the next night when I came in, attached to my time card was, make your quota tonight or don't come back. We'll send you your check. Now, y'all might not find that kind of pressure now, but some of us that are a little older, that's the way the world was back then. The way HR and all that is today, it's different. I mean, man, you know, I had a quota to make. And then some of you may work in a place where a rush job comes in on top of what you already have. And then there's pressure sometimes to be at a certain place at a certain time. I mean, every day, how many of you have a job? How many of you, there's pressure every day to be there at a certain time? Yeah, you know, sometimes there's pressure to get stuff done around the house. And then there's pressure for studying to pass exams. Some people, that's just for school, but it's not necessary. When I was going through my ordination when I was with a certain denomination, I had the pressure of passing, you know, a certain exam. But and then sometimes we can be put under pressure to compromise our moral standards. You know, there's pressure that comes to us from every direction, and that's just a short list of all of the things that bring pressure in your life. And now let's look at Peter in Matthew 14:25 through 32. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. I guess they didn't get it up. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. You need to put that in the NLT version, guys. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I'm here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. And when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Now, Peter started out well, walking on the water with his eyes on Jesus. But the pressure of the wind and the waves around him caused him to get his focus off of Jesus and off of the things around him, and he began to sink. And of course, Jesus had mercy on him, reached out and lifted him up. Now, his inconsistency and unsteadiness is what caused him to begin to sink. You see, as long as his focus was on Jesus, he was fine. But when he diverted his eyes and began to see the waves and the wind, the pressure of that coming to his mind, "I'm not supposed to be out here. Hello?" And he began to sink. You see, he told him, he said, "You have little faith." So he called his unsteadiness, his inconsistency in believing, little faith. You know, a huge factor that we need to use in controlling the pressure that we feel is to control what we focus on and not get distracted by contradictory circumstances or even what somebody says. You know, you can be believing God for something, talking to somebody, and all of a sudden they're talking to you and they say, "Well, you know, my aunt, she had that same thing and she died." Now, you don't realize it, but all of a sudden, if you're not careful, that will put pressure on you to begin to question. When you begin to question, you're out of faith immediately. Faith doesn't question. It believes no matter what it sees, no matter what it feels. And so, actually, let's talk about this. To stay steady under pressure, you have to learn to control the five senses. You never realize it, but if you stop and think about it, the five senses, our five senses control our lives in the natural. Come on. But there is three of these that we really need to zero in on. See, hear, and feel. Do you realize that you can feel pressure because you're putting it on yourself and there's really not any pressure? Come on now. You're getting all quiet on me. Well, I'm talking about some good stuff that's going to help you spiritually and naturally. That's what I like to do on Wednesday night. And then what you hear. What you listen to. Some people might say, well, all this, that's just a song. Well, wait a minute. Do you realize that it's coming into your mind and it will have an effect? Man, you couldn't quiet on me now. And what you feel. See, feel, and hear puts pressure on us that we don't even have to talk about a whole lot. Now, how you respond to this is whether you are successful or not. Whether you stay steady and consistent. Pressure sometimes will cause you not to be consistent, not to be steady. Maybe I need to change. Well, that you get off course when you do that. Then you have to not be emotionally overwhelmed in the natural or the spiritual. Staying steady and consistent under pressure doesn't mean that you don't have emotions. You do. But you express your emotions in a controlled way rather than letting them control you. Now, okay. You see an accident because somebody, their tire blew out and caused an accident. Now, if you're not careful, you will start thinking about your tires. And the next thing you know, you will have your car into a place and they will have them check the tires, make sure they're all right. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. What caused you to do that? Your car was running fine. You had no problem. It's because of what you saw. Hello? You know, actually, we need to learn to use our emotions as an advantage when pressure is put on rather than going the opposite direction. Pressure can be put on you in the spiritual area, in the natural area. You know, when I was playing football in high school and around, the coaches would say, now, Hagin, don't worry about that guy. This guy's really good, and you probably can't cover him. He's probably going to catch a bunch of passes on you, but don't let it bother you. You know, well, it bothered me that I went the other direction. I said, okay, you think I can't do it? I'm going to show you. See, now that was pressure. Now some guys would have folded under that. But you see, the coach knew what he was doing. He knew that was a trigger point with me to tell me, he was actually telling me, you can't do it. And so he knew that if he did that, it would push my pressure point and I would do the opposite. Now I'm coming back here on something. That's exactly what the enemy does to you all of the time. Hello. He will push pressure points in situations, and it's how you respond to that, whether you come through it or not. He'll tell you, oh yeah, God blessed you last time, but he's not going this time. This is a bigger situation. You just better hope and be glad that you can get through it without losing too much. Come on now. Anybody ever had the enemy talk to you like that? That's when you got to come back with the pressure from the other side. Hey, what are you talking about? The Bible said I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You see, I'm talking about pressure points. Our body has pressure points. And there's certain ways to go to those pressure points. You can stop blood flow if you get the right pressure point. Hello. I didn't know it, but man, when I played basketball, it was the most non-contact sport there was. You can't do it nowadays, but when I played back in the 50s, if you got the ball like this, long as you kept that one foot, you could spin around with your arms out like that, and if you hit somebody, they just got hit. Well, I would get hit in the nose, and my nose would start bleeding. Well, I don't know whether it's a pressure point or what it was, but I found out if I went in the locker room and got some of that brown, we had brown paper that we used for paper towels, and I would fold that up and I would stick it right up here and hold it, it stopped the blood flow. I don't know what about it. I don't know how, maybe it's just with me, I don't know. But I knew, and so I'd get out of the game, I'd run in the locker room and get that and then get back in the game. But I would stop the blood flow. Now, during times of being under pressure, you got to find out what works for you. Sometimes people have to start, they'll put the scripture on, playing it on. Now, you used to play it on tape, CDs. I guess they got it on MP3s now. I don't know, whatever them things are anyway. But when I'm feeling a lot of pressure on a lot of things, I got certain music that I go to. One of them is an old song by old Mike Perkey. He said, "Whatever you're going through, you're going through." You know, just something that will help you. Now, what here? Do you realize that pressure will really help you to find out who you really are and where you really are in natural and spiritual areas? Come on now. Anybody getting anything out of this? Some of this that I'm talking about, I learned. I learned at in the University of Hard Knocks. Anybody else graduated from the University of Hard Knocks? It's not a fun university. You know, I was 3 years old. We were pastoring, Dad was pastoring in Farmersville, Texas. And I was 3 years old, so I was born in 39, so you can figure out what year it was. And we didn't have a lamp in the middle of the room, but there was a couch, and there was one of these sockets. You just had four deals in it, and then it had that brass socket. And you just would take the light bulb, you screw it in, it'd come off, screw it off. That's the way it turned it off and on. Now, there wasn't any bulb in it. I'm standing up on the back of the couch, and I'm going like, and my dad's sitting over studying, and he says, "Son, don't do that, because if you hit that, your finger slips off, and you hit that pressure point right in the middle, it'll bite you." "Okay, Dad." And I rolled out in the floor. Now, you see, I could have learned the easy way by listening. I could have learned, but I learned the hard way by not listening. Hello? Of course, none of y'all ever done that. But that's what pressure will do to you. It will help you. It will get you to learn something one way or another. See, if you get into the Word, you can find out how to stay steady under pressure, or you can just go with the flow and go the opposite direction. I got this written down there. How successful we become in life is often directly related to how well we respond to the pressures of life. That's a good statement. Now let's look at another Bible thing. Moses stayed steady because he had a good support team. Exodus 17:9-13 NLT. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of the Amalekites for us tomorrow. I will stand at the top of the hill holding a staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of the Amalekites. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. And as long as Moses held up his staff in his hand, the Lord of the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the Amalekites in battle. Here we see the importance of staying steady in the middle of the battle. As long as Moses held his arms up, everything was all right. But when his arms got tired, he began to lose the strength to hold them up. Then the enemy began to prevail. So sometimes people change their mind about a leader when they see the limit of his human ability, strength. Sometimes you lose your own self-confidence when you see you are limited in the human area. But God said all things are possible. In the Word it says that He will quicken the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken our mortal body. Well, that's another subject, so let me go on. Moses and Aaron and Hur, when they were consistent the entire time of his arms being up, they won. So what am I getting at? If you're going to be successful under pressure, you have to have the right people around you that will help you to stay steady, that won't be telling you, "I don't see how you're going to make it," but they will be telling you, "You can make it. You can make it." When I put Denise and Craig to bed every night, I would tell them, "With you and God, you can do or make and be anything you want to be." That's what I told them every night. Didn't I, Craig? All right. I also told them every time I took them to school, I'd say, "Daddy loves you, Jesus loves you, have a great day." And I heard the dad behind me hollering, "You better not get in trouble today, I'll get you." That's a good way to leave a kid going to school, isn't it? I better get off of that now. So it's important to have fellow believers that will help you stay consistent, supporting you no matter what you're going through. See, if Moses had not had them to help support his arms, The Israelites would have lost. Because he's not going to sit there and for 12 hours, because it said the sun set, hold his arms up. None of you can do it. I bet some of you can't even hold them up. I bet I can't either for 10 minutes. Now, some of you working out can, but after a while, you're going to get tired. You know, having a good church family that believes God's word can be a great support when you're under pressure. Sometimes having a professional with expertise in certain areas can help you work through the pressures that you're facing. Hello. You know, I mean, there's people that, you know, if you need some financial advice, there's people that can help you. If you need medical advice, there's people that can help you. If you need some spiritual advice, there's pastors that can help you. And other church members can help you. Now let's look at another situation. Let's look at the Syrophoenician woman that stayed steady by focusing on what Jesus could do. Matthew 15, 21 through 28 in NLT. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon, however you want to pronounce it. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Now, right there, somebody would have been gone. They would have been highly offended. She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the crumbs that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted," and her daughter was instantly healed. Now here, her consistently asking, she stayed consistently focused on Jesus and what he could do for her. Even when Jesus ignored her, even when Jesus told her, "You don't qualify," she just kept on anyway. Yeah, you know, like I said a while ago, with all that he said to her, most people would got offended and walked off in disgust, you know. People sometimes get offended the way I pronounce somebody's name. Well, I'm not very good at pronouncing names in the first place. You see, when I went to school, they didn't teach phonics. They held a word up, you memorized it, and I made 100 on every spelling test because I can memorize stuff real easy. But for me to try to sound it out, I don't even know how to do that. Hello. But people get upset at you. "Well, you ought to be able to sound it out." Well, if you don't know how to do it, anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody go to school when you didn't have phonics? I got a couple of people raising their hand. You know, Jesus said to her, "Your faith is great." What made her faith so great? Consistent, steady, keep asking. We would ask once what we're supposed to do, the way that we do it now. That was back then when you said, "Pray and ask the Father in my name," and then you keep praising him for it until it happens. That's the way you're consistent and steady. Now, the pressure may still be there. I mean, The pressure was there. Her daughter was in a problem, but she did not let that deter her from not. She stayed there steadily, kept asking. Jesus said, well, no, you know, I don't know how. I don't know what period of time it took for all this. Some people think, oh, that was just a few minutes. It may have been days. I don't think the disciples would have said, send her away. She's bothering us if it, with all her begging, if it had just been a minute or two or 5 minutes or so. I assume that it took what? You know, we need to realize that we are qualified to receive. Now, the enemy will put pressure on you and tell you now you're not qualified because of what all you've done. You're not qualified. You just better be glad God even saved you. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. But it was her consistent steadiness of continuing to ask. Now, real quick, let's look at Paul for a minute. Paul stayed steady because he knew his problems were temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things we cannot see. For the things we see will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Paul here is saying, hey, all of this is temporary. It won't last long. He considered these things small. But he was saying, fix your gaze and your eyes on the eternal promises of God. Keep looking steadily at what Christ has done for you. Now, you talk about pressure. Troubles, he faced them. 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, I'm going to read it from the Passion. Are they servants of the anointed one? I'm beside myself when I speak this way, but I'm much more of a servant than they. I've worked much harder for God, taken more beatings, been dragged to more prisons than they. I've been flogged exceedingly many times, even to the point of death. 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jewish leaders. 3 times I experienced being beaten with rods. Once they stoned me. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. For the entire night and day I drifted in the open sea. In my difficult travels I've faced many dangerous situations. Perilous rivers, robbers, foreigners, even my own people. I've survived deadly peril in the city, in the wilderness, with storms at sea, with spies posing as believers. I've toiled to the point of exhaustion and gone through many sleepless nights. I've been frequently deprived of food and water, left hungry, shivering out in the cold, lacking proper clothing. And besides these painful experiences, I have the daily pressure of the responsibility of all the churches with deep concern weighing heavily on my heart for their welfare. Man, I think there's some pressure there. Hello. But you know, in another place, when Paul was facing some pressure, when they were telling him what was going to happen to him, he said, none of these things move me. I think he said the same thing to all of this stuff that we just read. I think he said the same thing. None of these things move me. He stayed steadily focused, even though the pressures were coming at him. And in the end, because he was steady, he even said in Philippians, you know, I haven't accomplished anything, but I keep on pressing on. And at the very end of his life, he told Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I remain faithful. In all of this, I'm talking about these different ones. They had pressures. All of these were pressures. But they came through all of it with God. I know when our family, when I was, you know, when I got old enough, you know, I got up 10, 11, 12, and in my teenage years, I understood where we were financially as a family. And you know, I watched us be under pressure like that. And Dad never was moved by any of it. He went out and preached every night in meetings because we'd travel and preach. And you couldn't tell by looking at him. His countenance didn't change. He didn't get up and give any hard luck story. He didn't even mention that we were going through stuff. He never mentioned one time when we didn't have any food to eat. But, you know, I was 15 at that time. I really knew what was happening because I was starving. he used to say I had hollow legs. But you know what he would say to us as a family when we would gather around a table that didn't have any food on it? Just another opportunity to prove God's word works. You see, the pressure could have drove him the other direction. I'm going to quit this. He couldn't quit it if he wanted to live. I will throw this in. Yes, he had left that last church van my third grade year, 1949, middle of my third grade year. A couple of years later or so, things weren't going good and people were talking about it because his family wasn't being taken care of and so forth and so on. Mama was griping about it. And so he was going to go back and pastor a church. And we remember he went and tried out. And I know where it was. I guess I was 9 years old or so. And Mineola, Texas. And so he was supposed to preach, but they come and got mother out of the Sunday school class, said he was having heart symptoms. And he had succumbed to the pressure. And mom had too. And I remember right there, they were in the parsonage right next door, and he was laying on the bed, and she had already, you know, they were there, and he's told her, said, "We've got to make a commitment." And so, you know, it seemed she heard the Lord say, "I could take him back. I'll take him where he never come back." When she was griping one of the times, and she said that. And so they agreed right then. Now, that pressure was forcing both of them a wrong direction. Now they come back with the pressure and begin to believe God and trust God, and things begin to change and so forth and so on. Now, I said that, and the reason I said that is because, see, y'all look at us sometimes, and we even have it now as a family. The pastoral staff over here, they have it too as a family. We face pressures too. We just don't talk about it. Hello. And what we do affects us delivering to you. What you do affects your family, your other church members. So all I'm trying to say, hey, when we face pressures, let's let the pressure into the forcing us this way force us the right way. Now let's look at the three things that we looked at. Moses had a support team. You have your church and your family and your friends that are your support team. The physician woman, she stayed steady with what Jesus could do for her. And then Paul said, "This is just temporary and easy to deal with." You know, I think these three things can help you when you're under pressure. But let me leave you, and I'm over time. Let me leave you one more thought. When you know what God said to David, it can help you stay steady as you face pressure in life. Psalms 18:21 in NLT. I, that would be God, will steady him, that would be David, he's talking to David, my powerful arm, I will make him, that would be David, strong. Now, as a believer today, what God is saying about David, he's saying about us. I will steady him. Or I will steady you, whatever your name. Put your name in there. I read like this. God will steady Kenneth with his hand and with his powerful arm. He will make Kenneth strong. You need to do the same thing. See, visualize yourself, God holding on to your hand. You know, the Beatles had a song said, I want to hold your hand. Well, God wants to hold your hand. See God's arm reaching around underneath you and strengthening you. See him holding you steady as you go through life. You'll have pressure, and pressures will come, and how you respond to that pressure, both from the spiritual standpoint and the natural standpoint, will determine whether you're successful or not. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. I've given these people the words that I felt that you've given me to say to them. I thank you now that you're ministering to each heart. I thank you that each individual is taking the part of this message that they needed. They didn't need all of it. Not everyone needed all the message, but everybody needed something that was in this message. And I pray, Father, that they will take that and begin to use it to develop so that they no longer are driven the wrong direction with pressure, but they'll turn to the right way and be successful in life spiritually and naturally. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody stand, please. Trust you got something out of this tonight. You know, God is so good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our prayer team is down here. If you don't know Jesus, if you once knew him but you're not living where you're supposed to, I want you to come down here and pray with them and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed tonight, come down here. They'll pray with you. Sunday morning right here at 9 o'clock, school of the Bible, 10 o'clock, morning worship. Come expecting, come believing. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let pressure handle my life. I'm going to be successful. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, salvation, rededication, the Holy Spirit, or you need somebody to pray with you about something, come to the front right now. God bless.